straw man vision is under tab 1 correspondence and reports, and then folder number 6, the draft executive committee meeting summary. And if you scroll down to page 5 in that, you will see the straw man vision. I think that George's comments were a good segue into this. Just a little bit of a quick background. The executive committee felt that we wanted a very focused, concise, but broad statement that will give the council direction when the council is working on actions. This part of this straw man was distilled down from the NAMA visioning effort and also what we had from the Mid-Atlantic visioning effort at that point in time. The idea for this was to get something that did not have the details, but gave the council the direction, again, for all of its actions. And each of the individual council action is where you would have the details, such as the goals and objectives. Also, it was felt that the vision statement should be the driver for our priority discussion, which is coming next, and it should help us set what we need for to get done over the next year. Our intention again today is not to vote on this, but for people to discuss it. If there are things that people think we need to add, let's discuss that, and we will finalize it at the November meeting, again, prior to our priorities discussion. The straw man, as you can see, hopefully everybody has had a chance to read it. It really is been distilled down into 4 sections there. The ecosystem-based fisheries management section, quota-based management, the economics and governance. I'm not going to read through each section. But I think that what we should do here is try and get people's thoughts on what they would like to see in this straw man. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Rip. I appreciate the work that went into developing the straw man document. I have a couple of suggestions. And the first one is that when going through the different sections, ecosystem-based fisheries management, quota-based management, economics, and governance, I see a common theme. It comes up in almost every paragraph, and that is a reference to the EPU, the ecological production units, which would be George's Bank, the Gulf of Maine, and Southern New England. Actually, this should be broken down a little bit differently in light of what I've heard so far: George's Bank, Nantucket Shoals, Western Gulf of Maine, Eastern Gulf of Maine, and Southern New England, Mid-Atlantic Bight. But anyways, the EPU is referenced in all the different paragraphs. So it seems to me that if we're talking about a vision, it might be easier for people to understand if we said our vision was to have ecosystem-based fisheries management, and then under that umbrella, let's be specific relative to what that means. And that could be described as part of an overall vision statement that incorporates references to quota-based management, the economics, and then, of course, the governance. To me, it simplifies matters. In going through the document in draft form, I became confused. Since ecosystem-based fisheries management is the theme, seems to be where we're going, the Magnuson Act reference, all the work done by the SSC, it's inevitable. The question is, what exactly is it going to look like? How will it be implemented and when? So that's my suggestion, that the document be reworked so that the vision be specific to ecosystem-based fisheries management. And in doing so, it would force the council to be more definitive relative to what exactly are we trying to achieve, what can be achieved, what data are available, socioeconomic as well as scientific. So that's my suggestion, first suggestion. The second one relates to governance, which, again, I would like to see as a component of the overall vision of ecosystem-based fisheries management. I see in the last line under governance that it says, enforcement remains a government priority. Monitoring is an industry responsibility. I don't think that's what's meant. Maybe it is. To me, enforcement and monitoring remains a government priority. It sounds like we're saying to those who would look at our vision statement that eventually we hope the industry to do all the monitoring itself, and that sounds a bit strange. I think the executive committee is saying that industry should pay for all the monitoring. I think that's what you're saying. Not that I support that, but that's what it seems to be the intent. I just cannot accept any vision statement that would indicate that we as council managers would say to the fishing industry, we manage and regulate, monitor yourself. That's your responsibility. So that needs to be clarified. I don't think that's what is being said here. And then then going up a little bit to under economics, the second paragraph where it says, all states and fishing communities bordering the EPU share in the economic and social benefits from recreational and commercial fishing activities within the EPU, I would suggest adding some language along the lines and support the EPU management approach, including allocation decisions, something like that. Because if states and fishing communities that border the EPU or EPUs are going to share in the benefits, then they need to contribute in some meaningful way relative to support. So that would be a vision. That's what we're looking towards. Improve state support, cooperation with council initiatives that if it's an ecosystem-based fisheries management initiative, it's going to require very significant, I suspect, support from the states. That I say because of the SSC document that describes, the white paper describing the ecosystem-based fisheries management approach, and they do get into that element of it, that coastal resources need to be considered. And, of course, if you're talking coastal resources, meaning close to shore, you need to talk about what's happening with the states. That's my other suggestion, and I think I had one other. Yes, my last one is, when this vision statement is adopted, everyone is going to want to know what is meant by the third paragraph under ecosystem-based fisheries management. ABCs, ACLs, and AMs are established for three geographical areas. Confusing. That needs to be better defined. Right now we have ABCs, ACLs, and AMs for individual stocks, but if we're not going to be managing with individual stocks, then what does this mean? So that needs to be better described. Otherwise, it'll be very confusing. And one other thing. My vision for the future relative to our embracing and eventually adopting some ecosystem-based fisheries management strategy would be that I would envision national standard guidelines being national standards being revised, and consistent with those revisions, national standard guidelines would have to be revised as well. And I say that because of past discussions that have occurred, not in this forum, but statements by Dr. Mike Sissonwein and others. I think Brian Rothschild was involved in it. Where they said very clearly, if we're going to move forward in a new and innovative way involving ecosystem-based fisheries management, then there has to be attention paid to the law. And the law right now may actually make it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to implement forms of ecosystem-based fisheries management that right now would be inconsistent with federal law and certainly with the guidelines. So those are my suggestions as to what I would like to see changed.
Anyone else on the council? Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would echo some of David's points. One thing that came to mind in this is that we're developing a vision in which we would then in the future be, looking at our management plans and are they consistent with this. And some of the things in here go a bit further than we really understand the implications of what they'll be. I mean, I'm not really sold on the idea that three, ecosystem FMPs are going to simplify our life. In many ways, they will complicate our life quite a lot. I mean, if you're now in a fishery that has one FMP across the range, you're going to need to participate in a process for three FMPs and with a whole lot of other people in that new FMP as well. So I think, developing an ecosystem strategy has a lot of benefits, hopefully, in the future. But being as specific here in the vision of what we think that's going to be, I'm a little uncertain about that, and I'm very uncertain about whether or not this simplifies anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think following up on Mary Beth's statement, I think what's missing here as a vision is the vision component. I think we've sort of skipped that and gone straight to tools by which to achieve that, whether it's EBFM, quota management, or some of the other things that we're talking about here. And I don't disagree with any of those tools or approaches, but I think what we're missing, at least on the front side, and we're getting to a level of specific detail with some of the plans that we might not be ready for, but at the front is saying things like, we're looking to rebuild stocks, we're looking for healthy and robust marine ecosystems, thriving coastal communities, profitable harvesting and processor operations, and actually lay out a sort of an overarching vision. Because I think right now a lot of what's in this straw man, and I don't disagree with it, are more tactics and tools to achieve that.
I wanted to go back to what David said, and you go to the third bullet, and it says, and improve data collection and science partnerships. Well, I certainly agree with that, but improved data collection requires funding. And then you skip down to the bottom, and it says, monitoring is an industry responsibility. I would suggest rewriting that last sentence to say, enforcement and monitoring remain a government priority. Monitoring is a shared government and industry responsibility, because I do think they should be shared, and I think that at least initially when we switch to ecosystem management, this is extremely data hungry. It's going to require substantial funding, and if we're going to say up front that the industry is going to pay for it, we're never going to switch, because the industry will never go along with paying for something that is really something they can't afford and is really, to me anyway, more a function of government, because it's for the overarching good of the country more than anything else.
Doug.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'm going to jump in on this bandwagon, and I agree with the two Dave's comments there that I believe that monitoring is something that government should have as a priority in this management system. But yes, there are opportunities at times that it could be shared with the industry. So I think we need to change that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the changes in the way of thinking is going to have to be in getting away from single species management is to determine how it is we're going to reach optimum yield. And under ecosystem management, instead of looking at individual species as separate entities, what we have to do, and I'm not sure all the steps to get there yet, but what we will have to do is manage excess usable biomass. And that begins really with what now we're capable of doing, and that is measuring primary productivity. And we'll be managing for maximum productivity. It's going to be a different way of looking at things. It's going to be a hard thing to switch over to that way of thinking. But ultimately, that's where we'll be going. And we'll be trying to manage a complex and productive food web rather than individual species. And that's the thinking pattern that's going to have to emerge from this. And it's not going to be an easy thing to do. And I'm not sure that charging the cost of it to industry is appropriate. In fact, I think it's not. But it's going to have to go. We're going to have to decide whether we're going to be managing for biomass or for dollar value. We haven't made that decision yet. But those are the kinds of things that we'll have to take into account. And it's just going to be an altogether new way of thinking about management.
Sally?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what Tom said about the need for an upfront vision that would essentially be based on Magnuson, but then spelling out some of the details that he described. So I hope that's been captured. But then I don't want to lose all of the good strategies and some of the tactics that are in this draft document. There's certainly going to be disagreement over that last statement in terms of monitoring. That was, you know, part of the straw man that the executive committee felt was really important to put out there, since the council continues to struggle with how to come up with adequate monitoring systems in a number of fisheries with decreasing government resources. So I would suggest that maybe there's a different way to say that, so it's not just a hot potato that gets tossed back and forth, and so that the council isn't giving industry what might be a false impression that government is going to pay for something where the money just may not be there for many years to come. So I hope that we can rework that item, especially since it's such a sticking point in a number of fisheries, rather than scrapping it all together, even if we can't come up with a comfortable way for everybody around the table today. Thanks.
Glenn.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just to weigh in on the fleet plan for monitoring. The monitoring, we need the monitoring. We've got a quota system. We need it. But we've got to have the system looked at, all components of it, even who does the monitoring. And I don't mean the fleet, but the companies that actually do the monitoring. Everything needs to be scrutinized down to the last dime in order to make it affordable, because if you are in business, you won't go into business and do something that's inefficient. And it seems like there must be some inefficiencies in there when we're talking about the kind of costs we're talking about with this monitoring. The fleet can absorb it if it's affordable. And so we need to have stakeholder input on that and just look at everything from the bottom up and the top down in order to get it right, so that it will work. Otherwise, this whole exercise is for nothing. I'm reading this about the EPU here. To me, that sounds like area management. It talks about processing in each area and things like that. These are all great goals to have, but you won't have much of a fleet to take part of it if we don't get the monitoring cost under control. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I do want to take a second bite at the apple on the monitoring, because this is more than just groundfish. This is all fisheries. When you combine this together, you're combining in a lot of fisheries where the monitoring vastly exceeds the value of the fishery. You know, are you going to take somebody out to monitor the dogfish fishery? And you know, when the value of the monitor vastly exceeds the value of the dogfish? You know, I mean, you have to You have to look at this comprehensively. Ecosystem models are data-driven. They're extremely data-hungry, to paraphrase science. You know, I got a son who works on this stuff. And one of the principal reasons he can't use his model on a continuing basis is you have to tag fish continuously in order to use the model. So, you know, if you're going to have tagging programs for 30-odd different species that are running continuously, you're talking about huge sums of money here. And so, I mean, we're deluding ourselves if we're going to sit here and say that the industry is going to fund ecosystem management, monitoring. And we really ought to say it right up front, right off the bat, because if the answer is either it's going to be funded or we're going to stick with single species management, that's a choice that people are going to have to make sooner rather than later. We can't get three quarters of the way into this, and all of a sudden somebody hands us a bill and says, congratulations, the value of the monitoring exceeds the value of the ecosystem fishery. Have a nice day. You know, again, I still think this is a function of government. And I think we need to make that statement right up front.
Maybe one suggestion for dealing with this issue is to break out in this vision statement a separate monitoring component that would identify the council's vision for what represents a successful monitoring system. You know, that would include cost-effective, reliable, safe, adequate to meet the needs of the specific FMP, and then you know, flexible to allow for different gears, vessel types, and whatnot. And maybe it's just too big an issue to have as a sort of last line in this one-page document. Maybe it actually is important enough to include under its own bold heading, so that we can get to some of these issues on cost sharing and cost effectiveness.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think in response to Tom's comments, if you look at the economic vision, if all fleets are socially and are safe and economically viable, then that can lead to how you feel about monitoring, if they're all economically viable and safe, what your definition of economically viable is.
Anyone else on the council? Dr. Pierce.
One other point under economics. I guess I'll turn to the office of the fisheries vision in draft form and ask you for some clarification as to the vision as you see it that would be a vision ensuring fairness. We talk about fairness all the time. Under economics, it says under the second line, well, first and second, allocation and accumulation limits are established within each EPU, which ensure fairness. So that's actually the intent of the drafters of the vision to ensure fairness, because it's a tough one. It can be argued that in almost every instance, we haven't been fair to one group or another, at least in their view. It's a subjective thing. So if it's going to be in here, if we're going to retain that language to ensure fairness, well, do we want to keep ensure in there, meaning it's going to be fair, which seems kind of unlikely as a long-term vision statement? Again, just further thought about what does it mean to ensure fairness, and is that something we really think we're going to be able to do down the road, especially under with ecosystem-based management? I don't think so.
Tim.
Yeah, I'd like to take a look at this more of a bigger overview, and I think what the executive committee here is suggesting to the council is we're looking at a five-year plan, and the vision is, do we want to start down the road for ecosystem-based management? I think we need to answer that question before we get into the weeds on how we get there. So I don't know what the chairman would like to have, but I think that if we can agree on that, then we can say it's the makeup of that type of system will be X, Y, and Z. But I'm not sure we're at that point where we're saying that the next 5 years, the vision of this council is to work towards an ecosystem-based management system. And we need to answer that question. And it could be no. And if it's no, then we have to go in a different direction, or it could be yes, and then we work on the other things.
Mary Beth and then Terry.
I think Jimmy's right about that. I mean, I think people have described some of the benefits of ecosystem-based management that we cannot do under the Magnuson Act. You know, the value of moving towards, you know, ecosystem plans versus single-species plans, well, we can't do that. You know, Magnuson says we have to look at all these species and have ACLs and AMs and, you know, based on all this criteria and reference points, and none of that's going away. So, I mean, I'm just feeling a little unclear on what the specific benefits are. I know that there's a lot of value to including information on primary production and, you know, environmental influences on species, and there's a whole bunch of valuable things that we can get out of ecosystem-based management that we can use in our current system. And then, you know, to go to ecosystem-based management, FMPs, without those, you know, benefits that we can't get under Magnuson currently, and to add in the complexity that, you know, the trade-off for the industry being that you now participate in three plans instead of one plan and some of these other things. I mean, people have said, you know, doing a programmatic EIS under an ecosystem-based management plan is a benefit. Well, we can do that now. I mean, we can, as suggested in the first step, combine a few plans, see how, if that's an improvement. The process of getting to a programmatic EIS is a lot of work. You know, but to define that as being the end goal at this particular point, to me, that's really uncertain if the benefits are there for us.
Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been listening to the many comments here, and I think the one that strikes home to me the closest is Jim's comment. Ecosystem-based management is an issue that the executive committee struggled and thought about for the better part of a day. And straw man is a concept that we wanted to bring before the council for your consideration, and it came for a number of reasons. One which is to address a number of the problems that we're currently having managing species by single management, to address a number of the issues that are in the Touchstone report, and with clear recognition that resources in the next number of years are going to clearly be far less than they are right now. And with our priority setting, that's, you know, as we start to think about this afternoon and hopefully conclude in November and not do all year long as we've done this last couple of years, we need to really decide as a group here if this is the direction we want to indeed follow, because there's going to have to be a lot of work between council staff and all of us to even think about getting this out the gate.
Dr. Pierce.
Well, I think here's where the rubber meets the road, and the road has been laid out for us already. Paul Howard in particular has been the person who has consistently reminded this council of the existence of President Obama's executive order, our new national ocean policy, the National Ocean Council. The executive order was signed July 19, 2010. We now have a policy that has 9 objectives, the first of which establishes ecosystem-based management as its guiding principle. We have marine spatial planning being worked on by that council. And perhaps my memory is failing me. This is to the benefit of the new council members as well, who weren't part of this discussion early on. I think this council had quite a bit of discussion about the need for us to go in the direction of ecosystem-based fisheries management, because we have no choice. the council, the Ocean Council, Marine Spatial Planning, and if we don't get on board, the train will leave us. The road has been laid out for us. It just depends how it's going to be paved now. So I agree with all the comments that have been made about how hard it's going to be for us to go in this direction with fisheries management. But it seems that that's what we are obliged to do. We've had three presentations, I think, very good presentations from Mike Fogarty of the Northeast Fisheries Science Center. You know, we have this document that was made available to us. We've seen it before. NOAA Fisheries Service referenced the ocean policy, ecosystem-based fisheries management, and I believe in the summary of the executive committee meeting, Paul Howard, it indicates that Paul Howard is going to be working with Mike Fogarty to move this forward. Staff working with Mike Fogarty to continue to have him and his staff, you know, provide us with the blueprint. So, boy, Mike's got a big job ahead of him. But we've swallowed it already. I think we've given him every indication, maybe by council votes, move it forward. We don't object to it. It has merit. We've got to go there. So, you know, all this discussion about maybe we don't want to go there, let's back off, let's reassess. I don't think it's possible. We're stuck with this sticky baby.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's an excellent point. But I tend to be impatient anyway. But I like the way it's outlined that we begin with setting our goals and objectives and do that in a slow, deliberate fashion. As far as the president's executive orders are concerned, I think over the next year to 3 years that we're facing difficult times, not just in terms of council budget. But I think it's pretty evident that politically we're facing some difficult times, and I have been told by some oil company people when I was at this last MSP meeting down in D.C. that since this was put in place as executive orders that if the next administration is not the same as the current one, that it all just goes away. And I that bothers me because it puts it all on very shaky footing. So I think it's probably wise to continue with the path that I believe Paul laid out, that begins with step by step by step, and not try to grab it all in one bite. And I think that beginning with setting just what we want to do with it is an appropriate way to go. I think it's the straw man is a good way to go.
Brian.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. The way we're managing now, we're managing one part of the ecosystem, that's humans. There's some real issues in the area where I fish and further east. Fish aren't coming back there, and it's not because overfishing. There's nobody fishing there. Ecosystem-based management might give us some tools or some understanding into why these places are so slow to recover. Right now, we don't. You talk to fishermen and they'll say, how come there's no fish out there? There's nobody fishing. What's going on? Something else is happening. We won't know the answers to these questions until we start to do things a little bit differently. Thank you.
Anyone else on the council? Dave?
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you brought that up. One of the things that has become evident is that the food web is distorted. Yes, it's also evident that, as you point out, that some of these species that are at very low levels of abundance now with nobody fishing aren't coming back. We have a new equilibrium. And one of the things that this whole process has taught me is that the productive food web that we had 40 years ago was a stable equilibrium. By smashing all these species down to nothing, just not fishing on them isn't going to bring them back, because now we have a new stable equilibrium. It just isn't giving us what we want. So the only way to get it back is not with single species management. We need to be managing the ecosystem and figuring out why this equilibrium is now like a food web, and you know, like a spider web in which a whole bunch of links have been cut. It's still a spider web. It still sits there in the breeze. It just doesn't catch any bugs. And that's the situation we're in right now. We're not getting anywhere near what we can out of this ecosystem, and that's what we have to figure out. But to think that that we're just going to stop fishing and it's all going to come back. It doesn't work that way. And that's an excellent point.
I'm going to go to the audience. Are there any comments? Okay, back to the council. Doug.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just one more comment concerning the cost of this. You know, I think there's an awful lot of promise and benefit to ecosystem management, and that's why I would support it. However, it is does come with a cost, and I think as we move down this road, we must be very cognizant of the cost, whether it be cost that would be borne by the government, who is essentially at the what the government does is at the will of the people. It is, if we're having cuts here, it's because in the future it's because our constituents and the people have elected people that want to have less government and less money going to government. And if it does not provide the funds to implement this kind of a management measure, then we need to management scheme. Then we need to look at some alternatives, just like when a stock assessment biologist looks at the input data, and there's some ideal models that they'd like to use, but they may not have the data to implement that model, and that's why we have data poor index-based assessments, because there isn't the input to make that occur. So as much as I support this, I think as we move forward with this, and I do hope we move forward with this, we do need to look at what is this going to cost, and can the either the industry or the people afford it.
Thank you. I think that this has been a good discussion. I think that in many ways, that leads right into the discussion on priorities, and certainly there is one of the priorities is moving towards the ecosystem-based fisheries management. And I think that it's been laid out in a step-by-step process that will take a number of years to implement, so that we will make, you know, essentially, if the council wants to do that, we will make some steps in that direction. We won't expend, we won't shoot all our ammunition at this one target, but it'll move us in that direction. And if something happens that, for some reason, there isn't the funding, I don't think we've lost anything by moving in that direction. But I think that's part of the next discussion. Any more comments on this, Dave?
Yeah, I think I want to back up what Doug said a little bit, and I was really going to ask a question. I mean, nobody's wanted ecosystem-based management more than me. I've wanted it since the late 70s. And, you know, it's kind of like getting so close to the brass ring, and then once again, it gets yanked away from you. And so I'd really want to ask, like, Frank and Pat, irregardless of the monitoring, set that aside for right now, do we have in our existing structure, in our existing budget structure, the ability to move in this direction? Because if the answer is no, then we may as well, you know, just give up right now. But if the answer is yes, at least, you know, to some degree, then we can follow what the chair has laid out, which is kind of this incremental approach and a dual-track approach, so that we don't get so invested in it that if the funding gets yanked, we end up with nothing. So I do have a, you know, a question to both sides of the, you know, science and management here.
Are you talking about monitoring funds?
No, irregardless of the monitoring, in order to set up these EPUs, it's going to require substantial funding and work. Do we have that in our existing Science Center budget and management budget at Great Republic Drive right now to start this conversion?
I think yes.
Pat and then Paul.
Yeah, I think the way this has been laid out, it's not it's not significantly different than what we are doing. So this iterative approach is essentially trying to take what we've got, put it into a package, and then see how we can build ecosystem management around that. Frank's folks have said that they've made a lot of progress in that regard. The RO side, from the management side, it is just a question of the priorities and, you know, making sure that we're not trying to do all of it at the same time, but gradually going through this iterative process.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. And part of the executive committee at the end of the meeting tasked me with meeting with Mike to see what he has, how we can develop timelines, and how are we going to get this done. And you'll see in your package under executive committee, it is a three-phased approach over 6 years. And the first phase is, you know, establishing goals and objectives and identifying the ecosystem production units. Just like Dr. Pierce said and Dr. Fogarty said to me, it may not be three. It may be four. It may be five. I don't know. But, you know, Dr. Pierce mentioned Nantucket, Mid-Atlantic area. I just said southern New England, but, you know, when I wrote up this phase, how we do it. So, and then the second phase is identifying the management and scientific requirements with an EIS over a two-year period and looking at predator-prey, new reference points, funds to implement all this stuff. And then phase three is actually moving towards it, which will take 3 years, you know, a transition from managing a fish throughout its range to managing a space with allocation within the space. And it's going to take 6 years, minimum.
Jim Odlin and then Jim Wayne.
Yeah, one of the discussion issues was there may be some regulatory impediments along the way. I mean, some we may not be able to do some things, but you need to think about that if this is the road that, as Dr. Pierce mentioned, that's being paved for us, then you hope to assume that some of those regulatory impediments will be changed as we go down the road. So that's one of the reasons why I think the phased approach that is being laid out, with some things being implemented in during the phase, so it's not like you're waiting 6 or 8 years to implement something. I thought it was important, and I brought it up, that we should implement some things along the way in the phases that can be implemented at that time. Otherwise, we can get in the situation almost where we are with habitat, where we've had phase one, phase two, and 5, 6 years later, we still don't have anything implemented. So the road is paved for us. There may be some roadblocks or detours along the way, but as long as you're implementing what you can implement going down the road, you may end up there, as long as some of those regulatory things change. And if they don't, then you're stuck. You're not stuck, but you've implemented something that's gotten you hopefully some good, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that the councils can ask for something that they feel is the direction to proceed in, and but I think we have to also think about what the Science Center can support, because they're like your mechanics who are going to fix your car when it breaks. So if you're moving towards ecosystem management, it has to be done in a coordinated effort with the Science Center. Right now, the Population Dynamics Group is probably the largest group in the Science Center. And those are the people in that group are very actively now trying to do work to comply with the reauthorized Magnuson Act, which calls for determining the stock status, whether individual stocks are overfished or overfish is occurring, and to provide information to the SFCs on an annual basis. So part of this, if the council is going to switch over to an ecosystem approach, you have to have specific questions, scientific questions that can be supported by the Science Center. And right now, the skills that the people have that are supporting the reauthorized Magnuson Act, those are not the same people who have skills in ecosystem-based fishery management. So the transition at the council level from one way of thinking to another way of thinking has to be accompanied in the Science Center, and that will be a fairly radical shift. So we just have to have a real close dialogue as we move along in the coming years. So it's just a point I wanted to make, not to forget about the people that support you.
Anything more on this? Okay, the plan will be for the executive committee to work with Paul. We'll take in the suggestions made today and bring back a more polished, slightly expanded vision for the November meeting. Now we're on to priorities. I'll turn it over to Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.